In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, it's a continuation of a wonderful sermon, wonderful time in the life of the church as she begins her journey, and that in the very beginning here, especially after Pentecost, great persecution. I call your attention to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts and the 13th verse. But I'll get the 12th verse first in order to make a transition here. The Apostle Peter said something that really irritated the people. And what he said here, when he said, extolling the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That upset them then, and that's forbidden more and more each day today to say that publicly. If you say that there's none other name, there's no other way whereby we must be saved than through the name of Jesus, that calls for a lot of reaction. But nevertheless, Peter said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, there is a thought embraced in verse 13, and I do need your prayers if I am to talk to you on the meaning of that, and that's what I want to talk to you about. That's what I feel now. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter, that's those people that are around him and contradicting him, and they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And the thought that I have this morning, when people have been with Jesus, they're different. That's not a presumptuous statement. People who have been with Jesus are different. I read in one of what is called a historical document, a collection of them from the Romans in the height of their day when they were conquering the world. And one of the representatives of the Roman Empire had come upon a strange phenomenon. He was faced with something he didn't know how to deal with. And he wrote back to his superior in Rome and said, there is a strange sect of people. They call themselves Christians. And he was asking how to deal with them. They weren't like other folks that he had dealt with. There was a peculiarity about them. They wanted to get together and go over and sing hymns. There's something different about people who have been with Jesus. And there is a real sense in which everyone that is embraced in the covenant of God's love and grace and redemption have been with Him in eternity in the covenant of grace. They were there. And we were given grace in Him before the foundation of the world. But I'm glad to say, and I'm glad you said, because it's so true, that God, that we did before the foundation of the world, pass under the hand of the shepherd, and he counted every one of us. But we pass again under His hand.
That's right.
But I'm glad that He didn't just save us en masse and it just becomes one abstract thing. But He saved the individual.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Gets right down
to it. And the children of God, the children of God are assured of their final end. There's nothing more sure than the final end and destination of the Lord's people. But you see, we're not living before the foundation of the world, and we haven't gotten over there yet. We need Him now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I love the song, and it's very meaningful now as I think about it. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every hour. Every hour I need Thee. When we come to the place, Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What? There's something strange about the child of God. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Well, you could say, on the other hand, when I'm strong, I'm weak. When I'm going in my own power and my own motivations, oh, I lean to my own understanding, as you said, instead of leaning not to my understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him, and then He directs my path. I need Thee. Stay Thou nearby. Oh, we need Him. We need Him. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. But you know, there's another song written that says, and it describes me sometimes, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it.
Yeah.
Prone to leave the God I love. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. What is different about those that have been with Jesus? You know, they didn't say, look, they've got their degree. They've been through it. That was just the opposite. They didn't have their Master of Divinity. They couldn't qualify for a lot of jobs, but the thing of it is, they've been with Jesus. The greatest thing could happen to you and me. I'm not just talking about, that is a wonderful thing, but the greatest thing could happen to you and me today is that we could just be with Jesus. And I don't want to trivialize that question. There's something that affects our lives when we have been with Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought coming up here, as I really got into this wasn't my text that I had thought I would use. But I can't think of a better text right now for how I feel. Do you remember when, and you've been there in your meditation, and in your prayers, and in your study, do you remember at the cross nearby some of the women stood? Remember that? They stood there. Some of the best ground in our life that we could occupy is if we could go, and you've been there, I know you have in your meditation, just to go and stand by the cross where the women stood. Just stand by the cross where the women stood. And we've been to the tomb with them. In their lack of faith and in their weakness, they came to embalm the Lord. But he wasn't there. He had told them over and over, I'll rise again the third day. But these poor women, in their efforts and in their sincerity and their love and compassion, they went to anoint the body. But he's not here. I like what you said. They found him gone. What you said. They came there and they found him gone. But I'll tell you, sometimes we join with them in our thoughts and we go with them and hear them say, he's risen again. He's not there. The angel said, he's risen again. So you apostles and you great followers, come out of your hiding and your shame and into the sunlight and the welcome arms of the Lord again. There's something different and strange about people that have been with Jesus. One thing makes it strange, they've had a strange work performed on them and in them and for them. You remember the 28th chapter of Isaiah, the 19th verse, talking about another thing, but surely it has the application here of what the Lord does. That he may do his work, the 21st verse, his strange work, and bring up to pass his strange act. Yeah. There's something strange about this. It's so strange, it makes us strangers and pilgrims in the world that we live. How hard is it to understand our humanity? And yet there's a part of God in us.
Yeah.
Outstrips the imagination and definition of any man.
That's right.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. A lady asked me some time ago, and this person has a lot of good respect for this person, but she doesn't embrace the Christian faith. She's one of those Middle Eastern religions. And she said, I want to know why. I want to know why the Christian can die so easy. Why do they not fear death? I said, well, it's not that. They just don't trust themselves. They're looking to Jesus for their strength. Which person she doesn't, supposedly doesn't believe in. It's another long name that I can't even pronounce. That's where our strength is. Why? You know, we're always pulled between two, aren't we? We have our anchor here in our nature, but yet there's something that tugs us beyond. Well, here's the strangeness of it, and the difference. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, I believe it's 1:23, in anticipating death and his departure and his dissolving is what he meant, and his sailing away, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm in a tight spot. I'm compressed. I'm so compressed. I'm being squeezed, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better.
Yeah. There you go.
Strange. The Lord does something for us and there's something different about us. Can I tell you this? Yesterday, I visited a precious person. This person is dying. and I had been with the family, and I walked in the room, and she threw her hand up like that, and she was recognized me, and finally I went over and talked to her a little bit, and she told me the other day she's not of our faith, but she said, "But you know what I believe." I said, "I know what you believe. But you've got strong faith, don't you?" She said, "Yeah." And I saw her yesterday, and I said, "You're doing real good. You're just doing so good." She said, "Elmer, really? How am I doing good?" I said, "Just like we knew you were going to do. Just like we knew you were going to do." And in all of that pressure, I saw a little smile, and she squeezed my hand. And I knew what she was telling me. What makes the Christian, as they call it, what makes them different in their dad? Paul said, I want to stay with you. It's necessary. That's part of what we do, isn't it? I just hate to leave my family. I don't want to leave quite yet. I want to get them up a little bit. I want to get them raised up a little bit. The pastor, I don't want to leave the church. Paul was concerned about the church that he had persecuted. And now he's, but I want to go home. I'm in the strait betwixt two.
Yeah.
Having a desire to depart and be with Christ. What a difference. And what a difference that the Lord's visitation in Saul's life that he persecuted. Now I want to go and be with him. Has there ever been a person more persecuted in their life than the apostle was? Has there ever been a person that persecuted the church more fervently than he did? And then he gives us a catalog of all the things that happened to him. He was beaten. Oh, he was beaten with stripes. He was stoned. And most people that were stoned died, and they drug him out of the city for dead. But he said, "I want to go and be with the Lord Jesus." You know, he said to depart and be with Christ is far better. Isn't that better than some imaginary place filled with smoke called Tartarus or whatever down there? Oh, I tell you, that's the child of God who's been taught, feels that when he leaves, the boundaries are cut here. He goes to be with Jesus. That's wonderful. But you know, the Apostle Paul had great evidence. The second Corinthians chapter 2. I've often thought that the reason Paul had such assurance that he had a singular experience. He had an unusual experience one day. And he said, "I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. But such a one caught up into the third heaven." You see, Paul had been there, and Paul knew where he was going. And he had such revelation. He saw such wonders. He said, "It's not lawful for a man to utter." That doesn't mean it's just against the law. It just means it's impossible to explain it. So he saw all of this, and he, lest he be exalted in overmuch of the abundance of revelation, he besought the Lord. He had a thorn, and he besought the Lord to remove it. But the Lord didn't remove it. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee."
There you go.
In verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12. Now notice, what a change. People have been with Jesus. There's a great difference in their life. They're a paradox. Peter said they're peculiar, didn't he, Brother Hugh? We talked about the peculiarity of the Lord people. No, we talked about peculiar people a little bit last Sunday. But you know, God said in the 18th chapter of Exodus, He said, if you'll obey my word, you will be unto me a peculiar treasure. You are a peculiar treasure in the Lord's eyes because you're peculiar because He's redeemed you with great price. You're His treasure. May not look at yourself as a treasure. May look at ourselves as a liability. But in the redeeming blood of Christ, we are a treasure. And He refers to us in the book of Malachi as His jewels.
Right.
But nevertheless, Paul said, now listen to him. When he saw all of that, he said, therefore, this is such a paradox. I take pleasure in my infirmities. Was Paul some kind of a strange fellow that needed to inflict pain on himself? Not at all. You know, I read one time where C.H. Spurgeon visited a monk in some kind of a cave, and he had dedicated himself to infliction of pain, and he had his scourge, and he was whipping himself, beating himself. You know what Spurgeon said? He probably deserved it. He probably deserved it. But that's not what Paul's doing here. Notice the paradox of the child of God. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm small. Well, you just can't overcome a person like that. The more they were persecuted in the early days, the more they went and preached the gospel.
That's right.
And he says here that even in necessities, and looking at the time frame and looking at his life, the necessities are the necessities of life. I mean clothing and food and all of those things. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. What a wonderful thought. And I thought about this and you mentioned it. The child of God seems so weak. And we are weak within ourselves. But you know what Paul said about us, about this body? He said it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Isn't that a wonderful thought? There's another word I'm missing there. I'm not getting it. Yeah, it is sown in dishonor. Oh, we could dwell on the dishonor, couldn't we? We could spend our life looking at the dishonor and confirming the fact that we believe in total depravity. The dishonor is, there's no end to the list. Not just in the fall of Adam. I can't blame all of my sins on Adam. The dishonor is beyond, it's immeasurable. It's sown in dishonor. It's sown. And Paul said, bare grain. Not B-E-A-R, but bare, B-A, just grain. That's all it is. But notice the other side of this. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. There's a difference when people have been with Jesus, when they've been with Him in the new birth, when they've been with Him in the covenant of grace that preceded all of this, but when they've been with Him in time and in a practical way.
Amen.
Yeah. I tell you, when we go yonder in meditation and reflection, and rest for a while at the feet of the cross, foot of the cross, it does something to us. It takes something out of us. And it puts something in us. It takes our pride away for a little while. It just strips us of who we are. I'll tell you the best thing ever happened to you and me, especially to the preacher that stands before God's people, is when he makes us a cripple. Just cripples us in our own strength. And we become like the patriarch of old that has to walk on his staff. Has to lean on his staff. I remember one time a man visited our church and joined the church. He was a preacher of another group, and I was sitting about where Brother Blevins is sitting. He came and sat down with me, and he said, What are you going to preach on today? And I said, well, I'm thinking. I have a subject, but I'm not quite sure right now. He said, I'll preach for you. I always know what I'm going to preach on. I've always got something. What he told me, you know what I thought? Brother, you hadn't been made a cripple yet. You hadn't been made to lean on the Lord yet. We need to be a cripple. We need to have our thigh put out of joint and lean on the Lord in order to support his people. Because when we're weak, then we're strong. When I have no strength of my own, I'm going to lean on the Lord. Oh, it is sown. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. What a wonder. Paul is dealing with the elect here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's not ignoring the resurrection of everybody else, but he's dealing with the elect here. And he also said, it is sown in weakness. It is sown in weakness. It's raised in power. Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful thought. You know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, and you and me, he said, we brought nothing into this world.
That's right.
Did you notice that? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. Now, that's our lie. And right here he said, it's still sown in weakness. We get here in weakness. We brought nothing. We didn't even have the clothes on our back. We didn't have a house. We brought nothing into this world. I know some will say, yes, you did. You brought enough faith. You brought enough faith with you to accept the Lord. And you have enough faith. No, my friend, we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing into this world. We have nothing to barter with the Lord on. We just brought nothing into this world. But they perceived that they had been with Jesus. All the best things could happen to me and you today. And in our lives, and I know it happens, the humbling moments when we feel like the Lord in His condescending grace has visited with us. I thought of the words of the Song of Solomon as we drove here this morning. In the analogy of the bride and the groom, she said, I see him through the lattice. He's there. I can see him. I can't see him clearly. I can't see him plainly, but he's just beyond the lattice. And sometimes we see through that glass darkly, and we know he's there. We feel he's there. Like last Wednesday, that person I visited, told you a little before that, she was clear. And I never felt the presence of the Lord more. When I walked out, I felt like I've been in the service of the Lord. He beholds us through his ladder, the lattice work of our that holds us back and we can't see. But someday we're going to see Him face to face. Oh, when the veil, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hard to imagine, isn't it? When the veil is taken off. When we reflect His shining glory in all that it is, and we have come up as worms of the dust. Oh, just for a little visit. Just to be with the Lord. In His embrace and feeling that He's acknowledging us. And when I'm weak, I'm strong. Sometimes at our weakest moment, I'm talking about physically. And every other way, when we can't go at our own strength, when we are at our weakest, He's there. He blesses us in ways which we can't even dictate and nobody can describe. He visits us in our afflictions and in our moments of loneliness. He fills the void which no one else can fill. Oh, just to be with Jesus. It will calm the soul. It's like the stormy winds in the ship that was out there. And the disciples fearful and fretful. The Lord just spoke. And He said to the stormy sea, "Peace, be still." And there's no storms that rage like the storm many times that rages in the hearts of God's child.
Yeah.
Oh, there are many troubles and fears. Founded and unfounded. And then when the captain of the soul speaks, it's so quiet. Have you ever faced the dilemmas of life which you thought you never could? And you felt in the moments of helplessness the peace that passed understanding.
Amen.
Oh, just to be with Him. We get caught up in all the stuff of the world. You know, I thought as I tried to think about this of people that you've met and people that I've met out in the corporate world and people doing what they need to do. Some people know just how to dress. And they know just how to talk. They know the very right words to say in front of the right people. But these disciples weren't groomed that way. The main thing was they had been with Jesus. What a blessing. There's a incident that comes to my mind that has guided me through many years, 40 years now. That's not many, but to me it's many. An elderly couple. Feeble and frail and reduced to helplessness. In a little house, humble home. And I learned more from that couple than I've learned from all the giants that I may have met. Oh, I learned so much from them. This precious sister in Kingsville, Texas. How are you today? Doing fine. How are you? I'm so blessed. Lying in her bed, I'm so blessed. The Lord blessed me and Jeff this month to have enough money to buy groceries and our medicine. Oh, what a wonderful person. And then one day, this dear person asked me, "Brother Bill, I want you to tell me about the resurrection. I never felt such a responsibility." Because I knew she was asking a serious question because she was facing death and she knew it. And I thought, oh, I want to be right. I want to be right when I tell Sister Beavers about the resurrection. And then she said, I'm afraid when I die, nobody will be at my funeral. I tell you, I said, you know there's going to be somebody there. I walked out that funeral home and it was full. It was packed. And I wanted to say, Sister Beaver, I told you they all loved you. But my main hope was, I hope I told her right. We can think we got our lesson and get it down, but then when we're tested in it, we want to be right, don't we? She had been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. That may sound like a real high-powered statement, but you know, sometimes we think it's a great honor to be with certain people, and it is. But the greatest honor, I just believe our gift brings us before great, great men, great people. I believe it's right here. That's where I think the great people are. That's where I think it is. And we have had occasion along last way to meet senators and men of great responsibility and all of that. But I'll tell you what. The greatest blessing we could ever have is to realize we can meet with the Lord Jesus. We can come before Him in our prayers and be accepted of Him and through Him and by Him. He has been with Jesus. Thank you so much. I love you. Appreciate being here to see all of you. Friends that I haven't seen for a long time, and it's always good to visit with you. Thank you. Come ahead, brother.
What a difference there is in being delivered by your strength and being delivered from your strength. And how important it is for a sheep to have a shepherd. And think about this distinguishing appearance of those who have been with Jesus Christ. I mean, His name means Savior.
That's right.
I mean, to be with the Savior, you're the saved. What a blessing it is to be delivered, not by our strength, but from our strength, to have that fellowship, that walk with our shepherd that leads us. And you know, I'm not sure what a sheep thinks, except what my experience has been. There's sometimes I don't feel like I need a shepherd. But when I get to that place where I know I need a shepherd, what a blessing it is to have one and to have walked with Him. That He has blessed us in that way. What a beautiful service this has been. What gracious words the Lord has prepared for us this morning.